Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning,
Nancy. That's Monty?
Yes.
How are you?
Great, dear.
I'm fine.
Good. That's the way it should be, right?
That's right. Pretty. Good morning. Has someone else joined us?
I'm here, Nancy. How are you doing?
I am fine, Karen. And you?
Doing good. Pretty quiet out there, though.
It is.
Yeah, the wind's not blowing much here today.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. Sounds like you guys are telling jokes or something. Good morning, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'm having a hard time loading. I probably have too much stuff or I need to turn off my computer and turn it on again. But I got a few things closed and it decided to open up. Not to mention the fact that I'm always playing around with the different things to put on there. So, sorry to be, let's see what time we have, I'm a minute late. So let's go ahead and get started. Good morning to our health style call. And we're really glad to have you all here. Those of you who are live and looking at the screen, and also those who are listening. And we're going to go for a moment before we Nancy gives our lesson. We're going to go and look again at setting a goal. And so we'll talk about that on another day if you want to share your goals or something or at the end. But Nancy deciding how much time she needs or if we have time to talk about that, we'll talk about that more probably at the end. I'll probably move that down to the end. But I wanted to give you a chance to practice on the words we learned yesterday. And here's the, let me get my little dot. The first word we looked at as a part of our digestive tract and a part of our body. So here's the word. So here's a chance for you to pronounce the word in your head or aloud to yourself. Probably not everybody out loud, or maybe that would be kind of fun too. I don't know. So there it is, and so then I'll click on it, and you'll see if you pronounced it right, I think. Oh, let me try a different button. That doesn't make it. There we go. Pronunciation probably is a little bit more on the first syllable than the second. And then the definition. What is this thing? Make a picture of it in your head or say it, and there is the definition. Next word, over here on the left, other part of the body in the digestive tract, pronunciation, and the definition of what it is, what does it do? I don't know if you have to know all those things or you just want to know where it is and what it does. Okay, number three down here, and here's how to pronounce it, so see if you got that right. When they say it on the dictionary.com, they have a little thing you can push in and it talks about. But it says pharynx, like almost need another syllable there, pharynx. So hopefully I can remember them so I can get right. Okay, what is a pharynx? And there it is. Okay, so that's those, and then I added one more. We've been talking about mentioning, and here, and so here's the pronunciation. Oops. Hesperidin. Hesperidin, and this is very interesting. This is only part. And I don't even hardly know anything about this. This should not say digestive tract. As you can tell, I copied and pasted. This is supposed to say herbs and foods or something. The opening, it's not that either. I forgot to erase those. Histamine release, some others, while treating hemorrhoids, anti-hypertensive effects, lower your blood pressure, detoxification. These are ones I need all of these. Cancer risk. Now, I haven't looked at this yet, so I don't know if you're getting it or getting rid of it, I hope. Lowering. If it says lowering, I'll add that. And reducing inflammation. Okay, so that's our word of the day, aspiritin. And it's not in the digestive tract, sorry. Work in progress. Whoops. I need to turn the page. Undo. Something else. There we go. So, now then, I would like to introduce Nancy Gilmer from Houston, Texas, who is our Thursday Lady of the Day and a great friend from Houston. So here's Nancy.
Thank you, Ruth. Welcome to everyone. And we're going to go over some pros and cons of aspirin use. Of course, for so many years, we've been told it's a good thing, but and actually it is on one hand, but they have brought up a few other risk factors. But I got this through Dr. John Barron, and he seems to be right on that, I think. Okay, so we've been using aspirin to prevent skin cancer and other things associated, well, different types of cancer, including colon cancer and even pancreatic cancer. But people with more than two prescriptions of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories had a 15% lower risk for squamous cell carcinoma and a 13% lower risk for malignant melanoma than those with fewer than two prescriptions. And when they're referring to prescriptions, I thought everything was over the counter. Why they're calling it that. The link was even stronger when the drugs were taken for 7 years or more at a high intensity. On the other hand, aspirin, the side effects that do include bleeding. And with people, for people with heart attacks and strokes, doctors are generally in agreement that taking aspirin is a key part of preventing a second event. According to the American Heart Association, low-dose aspirin for people who are at a 20% increased risk of heart problems, according to this medical group, the benefits of preventing a second heart attack outweigh the risk of bleeding for most people. But despite the medical bandwagon for aspirin, doctors have known for years that, in fact, aspirin and all the other non-steroidals increase the risk of intestinal and cranial bleeding. And according to Dr. Thomas Schwenk, dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine, he says if the benefits are barely measurable but the risks are real and possibly greater, Then the decision may shift against the use of aspirin. A major study just published in JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, has only added to the fire. According to the result, the aspirin use was significantly associated with an increased risk of major gastrointestinal and cranial bleeding episodes. The risk for serious bleeds was a stunning five times higher than had previously been reported in clinical trials of daily low-dose aspirin regimen. But then we need to look at both the rewards and the risks. So we've got, yes, they do reduce your risk of having a second heart attack or stroke, to the treatment's usefulness for preventing a first heart attack and stroke, the benefits seem to vanish. And more importantly, as also seen with statin drugs, although aspirin reduces your risk of having a second event, it does not necessarily decrease your risk of dying, not even 1%. In fact, a number of studies have shown that there is no significant association between using or not using low-dose aspirin and the risk of death from coronary heart disease. And from a skin cancer study, there are virtually all of the benefits associated with aspirin and the other non-steroidals stem from their ability to inhibit your body's production of prostaglandins. Prostaglandins are like hormones in that they work to direct responses in the human body. For example, the prostaglandins play a role in directing the body's pain and inflammation response to injury. They help control how fast blood clots in response to a wound or how readily plaque is formed when there is damage to an arterial wall. They also play a role in directing uterine contractions, not to mention your body's immune response and even aspects of metabolism. Aspirin and ibuprofen and Motrin, they work by decreasing prostaglandin levels. They do this by inhibiting the production of the COX-2 enzyme. Specifically, if you inhibit COX-2, you inhibit the production of prostaglandin. In summary, these non-steroidals are COX-2 inhibitors, which result in reduced inflammation. Reducing inflammation diminishes the changes of getting all different types of cancer in two ways. First, inflammation reduces circulation of blood, lymph, and energy. Reduced circulation of blood negatively impacts cells in a number of ways. It weakens cells by denying them the nutrients they need, which can lead to cellular mutations. It allows toxins to build up in cells, which can lead to cellular mutations. It denies cells access to adequate supplies of oxygen, which can lead to cellular...
Nancy, could I interrupt just a second?
Sure.
This is Ruth. I'm wanting to just check and see if I got... You were talking about the prostaglandin. Now you're talking about saying this is what aspirin does. Is that correct?
Well, there are natural alternatives to aspirin. So that's when it's going into these other enzymes. You know, I'm not real clear on these prostaglandins.
So the prostaglandins had a bunch of good benefits. It sounded you read many benefits. I just had to write many benefits.
Yes.
And also reduced the chance of cancer. And so
right.
If I understood it right, then taking aspirin inhibits the prostaglandins, and so then you'd be more likely to get cancer.
Right. They're giving.
And then I got a little bit lost in there, so.
Okay. They're showing that we can do this with these other alternative ways rather than using aspirin. So, reduced circulation of lymph allows toxins to build up in the body, which can negatively impact the health of cells, thus leading to increased cellular mutation. Your lymph is your body's sewer system, and like any sewer system, what doesn't circulate accumulates. And accumulated sewage is toxic to all who come into contact with it.
incident. So you're saying that the aspirin then limits the lymph activity?
Well, actually, let me go back up where it says natural alternatives to aspirin.
Okay.
We now know that what the medical community says about aspirin and the other non-steroidals and how the most recent studies have changed the dialogue on both sides of the medical debate, but is there something we can extrapolate from all of these studies that might point us in an entirely different direction, a more natural alternative to aspirin? And they said, yes, let me go on with a little more. It is important to remember that the skin cancer study found equal benefits for all the commonly used non-steroidal painkillers, not just aspirin. So what do aspirin, ibuprofen, naproxen all have in common? They are all anti-inflammatories. They systemically reduce inflammation throughout the body. Their generic name describes what they do. And then I've covered this. Now, on the second part of this is the... back to this lymphatic system. It relies on the contraction of muscles to move lymph throughout the body, although the larger lymph vessels have a layer of smooth muscle in their walls that contracts rhythmically to help pump lymph along. But it is primarily the contraction of skeletal muscles brought about by simple body movements and the mechanics of breathing that move lymph on the head. Because any inflammation in muscle tissue reduces the movement of lymph through the tissue. Thirdly, the reduced ability of energy to circulate in the body can cause cellular energy levels to drop, which has been medically associated with an increased tendency for cells to turn cancerous. The bottom line is that anything that reduces systemic inflammation is likely to reduce your incidence of many types of cancer for all the reasons cited above. What they do, all of these include all the non-steroidals, including aspirin, is it is not surprising that all these show statistical benefits in reducing the incidence of cancer. And then they go into heart disease with the COX-1 and COX-2 inhibitors. So then the conclusion of this, putting all of this together, he says, we arrive at the real question of the moment. Is there a safe alternative to aspirin and other non-steroidals for protecting us from cancer and heart disease without the negative side effects? We are looking for something all natural that reduces systemic inflammation, at least as well as the non-steroidals. It reduces tendency of blood to inappropriately clot in unhealthy places, such as the coronary arteries and the brain, thus reducing the likelihood of cardiovascular events. It does not damage the intestinal lining, thus having no issues with gastrointestinal bleeding. It does not damage the brain's vascular system, thereby not contributing to hemorrhagic stroke, and for good measure can help dissolve arterial plaque and scarring. It improves lung function in people with COPD, and for good measure, dissolve dental plaque. He says what we're talking about are systemic proteolytic enzymes designed to be taken between meals so that they quickly enter the bloodstream as opposed to being involved in the digestion of food. where they can indeed reduce systemic inflammation, lessen pain, optimize the ability of blood cells to move independently, lower the risk of cell mutations, and help repair cardiovascular damage. These proteolytic enzymes can help prevent deep vein thrombosis resulting from long periods of sitting, something aspirin cannot do. The difference between proteolytic enzymes and these non-steroidals, the obvious issue is that one has to be concerned with the fact that proteolytic enzymes and non-steroidals do so many of the same things, reducing pain, inflammation, risk of coronary events, and risk of cancer. And how are they different? Are proteolytic enzymes just natural versions of non-steroidals, complete with many of the same problems? And the answer is, not at all. They work on the same things, but in entirely different ways.
Okay, and just a second, Nancy.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yes.
Can you tell me how to spell those words, which kind of enzymes these are?
Proteolytic. Are you wanting the spelling of proteolytic?
Yes, please.
Okay, proteolytic.
Can you do that a little more slowly?
Sure. proteolytic.
Now, these are the good ones?
Yes. What they're pointing out is these enzymes do virtually the same thing as aspirin, but without the risk factors. They work on the same things, but entirely different ways, and it is that difference that makes proteolytic enzymes the better choice.
Well, that's good. Now, these are something that you're going to tell us where we're going to get them?
Well, he did not go into this, but what I'm thinking one of them would be is ginkgo biloba. It can act a lot like aspirin. It's there to thin the blood, but it doesn't do it in such a degree that you can thin it too much. But this article does not really go into a lot on what they are and where to get them. And I'm sorry, I didn't do that research. Aspirin and the others, non-steroidals work by decreasing prostaglandin levels. They do this by inhibiting the production of COX-1 and 2. But all of these biochemicals have important functions in the body, the prostaglandins and the COX-2 enzymes. But if you shut down their production, you shut down crucial systems as well as excess inflammation. As you may remember from earlier, COX-1 is responsible for the proper functioning of the stomach and intestinal lining. If you inhibit its production, you compromise the integrity of the intestinal tract. The result is microbleeding in the gut. Proteolytic enzymes, on the other hand, work further down the chain of events. They are not COX inhibitors. Instead, they catalyze the breakdown of excess and inappropriate proteins floating around in the bloodstream. This includes bacteria, allergens, and prostaglandins. Proteolytic enzymes don't disrupt the normal cycle. They merely clean up the excesses produced by that system. By cleaning up the excess prostaglandins, they reduce pain and inflammation. By breaking down fibrin, that's F-I-B-R-I-N, the clotting protein, they prevent the formation of dangerous clots in the bloodstream, even clots formed as a result of deep vein thrombosis, something aspirin cannot do. Aspirin, to put it in general terms, they say aspirin is like a sledgehammer. Proteolytic enzymes are like a surgeon's scalpel. But they also warned that before surgery, you still need to stop taking the proteolytic enzyme several days before the surgery, just as you would the other. That's just about it. And, of course, the whole thing is talking about how safe these are. But then they said, of course, if you take them for a long period of time, you still could have that little tiny chance of having hemorrhoid, these little bleeding things in the brain if you get too much of it. So maybe for next week I will figure out where we can get these and what they actually are.
In a natural form?
In a natural form. Okay, here's another study. Multiple studies have been determined that the most prominent cause of protein deposits in the brain have been linked to drugs like aspirin. Researchers have studied brain scans of more than 1,000 people and found that 70% of those who took aspirin had microscopic bleeding in the brain. Systemic proteolytic enzymes not only don't cause excessive protein deposits to form in the brain's blood vessel walls, they actually work to break down any such deposits. All in all, proteolytic enzymes are safer, more effective alternative for everything that the non-steroids do. Oh, he does give a link here, which I did not go to. So he says, for more information on systemic proteolytic enzymes, check this out. And Ruth, maybe you could send out this this whole article that
That's
I sent
the one you sent me.
Uh-huh. So down at the very bottom is where he gives another link to go to find this out. And I'm sorry, I didn't do that part.
Well, this is quite a bit to digest.
Yes, it is. But at least we know more about the bleeding aspect of it. They have not been real clear about. And in other words, if you are not at high risk or it sounds like aspirin is good if you've already had a heart attack or a stroke. But to just tell the average person to take them, they're saying that's not a good thing.
But I saw it on TV.
Mm-hmm. It has been on a number of times. So this man kind of explained everything, I thought, pretty well.
Well, it sounds like definitely you wouldn't want to be taking aspirin if you don't want bleeding in the brain.
Or in the intestine.
Well, there's a little bleeding in the brain.
No. this is, and you know, the other thing is Larry had that intestinal bleeding last year. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, even after the bleeding stopped, the doctor that did the all the tests on him said, now, I said, I believe it was because he was taking that baby aspirin every day. And he said, now, why are you taking that? And we said, well, because the doctor said that he should, our primary care. And he said, well, if he thinks that you need to take that every day, then continue taking it. Well, I came home and said, don't take it anymore. And he hasn't had any bleeding since then. But he actually got anemic. So much bleeding was going on. So, you know, a lot of doctors are telling people to, doctors are even saying take that low dose aspirin. And I would like to read this entire article again because there's a lot of it I missed. But did I hear you say, Nancy, that even the proleptic enzymes could cause the bleeding in the brain as well? Did I hear you say that towards the end?
And I'm not sure if I can locate that on here, but
okay.
That is one little thing they said.
Yeah.
That it's, but that didn't take, I guess, way too much.
Well, that's why I was wanting to know where we kind of enzymes they are, and if we find out, then we can just eat some of that food and not be taking a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have clicked on that link I spoke of at the very bottom,
mm-hmm.
and it got a lot of good things, understanding proteolytic enzymes and all this. It's talking about beyond digestion. It's saying enzymes are proteins that speed up and catalyze the chemical reactions.
Mm-hmm. Some of the reactions don't even happen if you don't have the enzymes there.
Right. And it does talk about, he states here, why pH matters to enzymes.
Mm.
Let me just read this one paragraph. He wants to introduce a new concept in proteolytic enzymes. This represents a reformulation of my original concept for proteolytic enzymes by combining a unique pH buffering system with an upgrade in a key enzyme. The formula is so powerful, so unique, and effective that it is now patent pending. For those of you who are familiar with proteolytic enzyme formulas, you can skip down to why pH matters to enzymes. For the rest of you, before I tell you about the innovations within this new proteolytic enzyme formula, let's review the basics on systemic proteolytic enzyme formulations. How they help with cellular metabolism and how they break down viruses, bacteria, proteins, and more. I think everyone probably should just read all of this if you get that from Ruth, because it's a lot of detail in here. So he's talking about digestion. The bottom line is a healthy supply of these proteins, of these protein-specific enzymes, is essential for sustaining and maintaining optimal health. Just about everything that makes us sick is either a protein or is protected by a protein and is therefore subject to control by enzymes. Bacteria, viruses, yeast, and fungi are all protected by proteins. Food allergens are all proteins. Cancer cells are protected by proteins.
Okay, so all these things are the proteins, and so that means these enzymes can break them down and do them away.
Mm-hmm. And I think that points back to our Nikan product, the digestion complex, with the way they break down our food. So we may have the answer in our digestion complex.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Here's one of the things. Why you need to supplement. In a perfect world, we would eat raw, organic, unprocessed foods that are naturally high in active enzymes. But it isn't a perfect world. Most people eat food that is enzyme deficient and fail to chew food adequately, so their bodies must compensate. The body is forced to divert its production of enzymes away from proteolytic enzymes, which govern metabolic functions, into digestive enzymes designed to break down dead proteins in our diets. The consequences of this diversion are enormous. It can lead to everything from a weakened immune system to thickened blood, from pain and inflammation to cardiovascular disease, and from difficulty breathing to reduced athletic performance. Okay. Well, I guess we all have a lot more to learn about this.
Let's not be on the call today, because if she were, then she would say, juice more of your foods, because then you'll get more of your enzymes.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because as Nancy's talking, I'm sitting here searching the internet too, and that's exactly this one article I pulled up said most people are familiar with digestive enzymes that absorb nutrients from foods when they enter the small intestine. The enzymes provided by both wholesome raw foods and the pancreas go to work. Most standard American diets, consisting of processed or overcooked food-like substances, lack enzymes. So the pancreas has to work harder, producing the enzymes necessary for normal digestion. Eating more raw veggies and fruits, as well as juicing, I say blending, allows enzymes inherent in real food to assist the process of digestion and assimilation of nutrients. And then he says, of course, digestive enzymes are also available as supplements. But so that's pretty exciting, huh? I think we probably, I want to see if that word, proteolytic enzymes, is in our digestion. I'm going to read up on that today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was glad to hear that I was right on about the bleeding, though.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me before that there was lots of studies done on this, and that that the aspirin for men who had already had a heart attack, that the risk was less if they took the low dose aspirin after they'd had that first heart attack, but that there was absolutely nothing for women. That they couldn't find, there was no benefit for women. So that would be interesting to know, too. But anyway, we're not going to take it, men or women at my house. We tend to bleed.
Viagra would be another one that would have a lot of enzymes.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Viagra would also have a lot of enzymes.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you if the doctor is prescribing, you know, like a half a dose of that a day for a person who has had a heart attack, what are you recommending that they do in place of that aspirin?
Well, the doctor also recommend that. I told him that he should just be sure that he never misses so many hours, you know, without any drinking water, Pymag water, for one thing. And then from this lesson, that now we've got to look at more enzymes, being sure that we have the proteolytic, or whatever they are, I've got to look that up, enzymes, which I would suspect that these fruits and vegetables would have them in it. That it will be fun to find out now from what we've learned which ones are the highest in these particular type of enzymes. So I asked Joan if she might give us a lesson on enzymes, but she's too busy right now.
Well, he does talk in this about the why minerals are important. There are complex biochemical processes constantly working to keep your pH levels optimized for maximum enzyme activity. These are known as pH buffering systems. They are mineral based. If you lack minerals in your diet, common in modern diets, then your body's natural buffering system is deficient. Essentially, your body uses minerals such as sodium, calcium, potassium, and magnesium to combine with the acids and turn them into pH-neutral mineral salts. These salts can then be safely eliminated through your kidneys. It goes back to high-neg water.
Well, and our alkaline, keeping our alkalinity with our foods, too.
With the foods, too. Yeah.
Again, our Siaga, is going to be high, really high alkaline also.
says to add more foods to your diet, cut out or at least cut down on processed foods and cooked foods, chew your food properly, and drink alkalized water.
So do what now?
He's telling you some ways of helping with all of this is to add more raw foods to your diet, cut out or at least cut down on processed foods and cooked foods, and chew your food properly, and drink alkalized water.
Ta-da.
There you go.
Where's that? Well, we definitely, I think people are catching on and not eating so much, many processed foods. A little bit more, maybe. People just, I don't know. We got a lot of teaching to do for our friends and our family and helping them to know. Thank you very much, Nancy. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
This is Donna. I looked up Neekin's digestion enzyme, digestion. It does not have this in it.
It does not specifically mention it.
No, it does not. But it does break down proteins, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think our digestion does.
Yeah. Yes, it says that. That's one of the things it says, I think.
Well,
yeah.
All through here, he does not, unless I've missed it, he does not tell you where to get these, but he talks about proteolytic enzymes.
He sounds a little bit like he might represent a company.
Well, if so,
the bottle.
If so, he's not being upfront with how to get them.
Okay,
because I don't see anything here that says to order.
He said that he applied for patents, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, he does have products. Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, I
found it on the website, too. And he does have products, but I don't know what kind.
Okay.
What is the name of the person that produced this article?
John, J-O-N, Barron. B-A-R-R-O-N. You know, he may not be a doctor.
His wife's a dietitian.
Oh, okay.
And they work
so,
in that.
So Barron, B-A-R-R-O-N?
Mm-hmm. And he's French, so he leaves out the H in his first name.
Oh, okay.
And his, well, when Ruth sends this out, you can get on his newsletter. There's no charge for getting his newsletters. But I heard of him through a nutritionist here in this local area who highly recommends anything that he puts out there. So I assume he's right on target. And I think he has also been on Dr. Oz. His face looks familiar. Can't be certain, though.
Okay, well, thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Some good information and some warning, and you just cannot go along with the fad of the day.
You listen to your own body. Pay attention.
I heard that somewhere.
I've actually known of someone who was placed by the VA, actually it was my brother, they placed him on a full aspirin. And he was on that for some time until he went to a doctor outside of the VA. He asked, why are you taking this high of an aspirin instead of an 81? We don't know why they placed him on that.
Yeah, I have a comment about proteolytic enzymes.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like to me that may be a class of enzymes, classification, and it's possible that the ones in the digestive supplement named specific enzymes, and if we researched what the proteolytic enzymes really are more thoroughly, we may find out that some of the ones in the in the digestive supplement actually are proteolytic and fall in that classification. It's just a thought, but many times organic organic substances are classified together as groups, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible.
Yes, I suspect that. Good comment. Okay. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Okay, good. Great session. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.